Welcome to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on delivering the latest trends in investing, entrepreneurship, and global women's issues by and for women and girls. Download our shows on iTunes or listen on demand right here on thestateofwomen.com. Now, stay tuned for our latest episode of Women Investing in Women and Girls with Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are very honored to welcome our guest today. First of all, Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women, as well as our other guest today, Sheikha Althani. And it's been an absolute honor to be able to be given the opportunity to speak to Sheikha today. And she is coming in from London, England at the moment. So once again, we are honored to have you on our show. Sheikha, how are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me. Such an honor. I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. Now, the first thing I'd like to talk to you about is your background, of course. And I'd like for you to share with our listeners your background and how that has helped mold you to do what you wanted to do when you got older.
My name is Sheikha Althani, and I'm Qatarian Egyptian. I'm from the Qatarian royal family. Since I was about 4 years old, I've been doing a lot of charity work around many provinces in Egypt. I found that the villagers there, or the poor people there, gave me so much that I could not return. What they gave me was, first of all, experience on how to live your life in a better way, in a way that, because they taught me that money doesn't bring you happiness. Instead, just being with people and looking at the bright side of every day. And I was really impressed at how they lived in such poverty and yet they could smile and still move on. And I felt it was my duty as a citizen, as a human being, to help them. Although I found my age was an obstacle in front of me, many people supported me in my endeavors, and they thought that building a charity, which was what I wanted to do and what I've done, would be an amazing idea. And since my age was something out of the ordinary, many people would like that. And so about 2 years ago, when I was about 14 or 13, I founded my own charity, and it's called SATUC, Sheikha Althani for Uniting Children. And it's an organization which helps children around the world. We have two projects which we're currently working on. The SATUC World Cup, which is a football World Cup, and nine nations are participating. And it's basically to give the chance to children who don't have another chance at getting a good education and making a name for themselves, so that they can get themselves out of poverty, to achieving their dreams as being well-known football players. And that's going to take place in Egypt this August.
Very exciting news, and we will have the opportunity to talk with you more about SATUC's missions and goals and what you have going on with that. And I'd like to go through almost chronologically the order of your journey and how you came to establish this humanitarian cause by first focusing on what made you want to get involved in humanitarian efforts from the get-go. And I'd like to know from you, why do you think it's important that we focus our attention on humanitarian efforts?
Well, basically, I think that that we're in the end, we're all human beings. We're all born the same. We all live and breathe the same. We shouldn't differentiate ourselves by race, by gender, by nationalities. These are all. We should just break the boundaries. We should become a united front, and that's what we lack. We lack that in countries where we find civil wars. We lack that between a country and another, like friction between one country and another, which we can see a lot in this day and age, which is not needed. But unfortunately, there's corruption, there's hatred amongst some people, not all. Mm-hmm. But it is our duty as human beings to kind of reach out our hand and help the people who want to be helped, help the people who have a dream, because it's their right to dream as well. Just because they don't have money doesn't mean that they shouldn't have what we have. I think that God, he gave us what we have now to help others, because they're all our brothers and sisters, and we should help them, because when we grow old, these children will help us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sheikha, I want to bring up a point. And how old are you right now, if you may mind me asking?
I'm going to turn 16 in July.
Great. And I am actually 18 right now. So we are both this we're both in this time in our lives where we are about to get into the real world. But what I think is very important is that I think now more than ever, kids from our generation are getting involved in these issues and recognizing the point that you just brought up, the fact that some of the issues that impact one country affect all countries, and that we are all connected. We breathe the same air. We live in the same planet. And I'd like to ask you, from your point of view and what you've seen and the children that you've helped, what is the power of the youth, and how far can we take our potential to change the world?
I think that we can do many things, but it's necessary that we start with ourselves, because it's all, you can just point at someone and say these are your faults, but if you're not looking at yourself, then why bother telling someone that he's wrong? So it's very important that we change through ourselves and help others, so that people who look at us will use us as a role model and help others as well. Other than that, you don't have to have money to help people. You can donate your time, you can donate a smile, because imagine yourself just walking the street. I bet if you go out there and just smile at someone, he'll smile right back, no matter how tired they are or how sad or devastating their day was. They will smile back, and that's the beauty of it, because they just want someone who could think about them, to think about their loss. These children, I think, are more important to focus on. I'm not saying that poverty, or I'm not differentiating, but these children, because they didn't choose to be forced in poverty. They didn't choose to have the mistakes of their parents inflicted on them. They want to dream, but their dreams keep on getting shattered day by day, more and more, due to poverty and illness colliding, but also the lack of education. We need to help them to dream, because that's the only hope that they have of surviving in this world. If we help others dream and potentially fulfill their dreams, I think this place would be a much better place, because in a theoretical world, mm-hmm. we would be all happy. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, it isn't. In the real world, I don't think everybody will be happy. But if we do try help others, I think that's enough.
Right. Yeah. And you know, Anu, the work that you've been doing in trying to create that connection, that tie between adults who may be more experienced in what we focus on, whether that be crowdfunding or being an entrepreneur, but really in effect changing the world in any way that they can, and connecting that with young people, what do you believe is the strength of that tie between having that experience, having that influence of role models?
That's a fantastic question. It's like, I think what you're sharing with your experience, and what Sheikha is sharing with her experience, I mean, this is going to be listened to by girls throughout our entire social media network. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, we've got 300,000 followers, 60% are female, 40% are male, between the ages of 13 to 35 in our demographics from over 100 countries. And that's just on our Facebook, you know, following at the moment. But what this tells me is that we have a lot of young women and young boys who are really interested in the content that we're sharing, and the interviews that we're sharing, and the podcast that we're producing. And I think we're on to something really big and monumental in terms of global change and awareness and peace.
Great. And Sheikha, do you have anything to comment on that as well?
I think that, you know, making more children aware is quite important, because in this day and age, again, we live in a society where parents You might say they're right, you might say they're wrong. I'm just saying my point of view, that they shelter their children from the things that actually happen around the world, about child soldiers, about people dying, about everything. But I think that many things can help, such as your radio, which is a great honor that I'm on it. But other than that, it's well, we have another project is in SATUC. We have a SATUC youth group, mm-hmm. where basically we have different board members around the whole world, and each country has its own vice president and different board members. Currently, we have a London youth group and we have an Egyptian youth group. But since I'm also American, I'm thinking of starting a youth group in America as well.
Amazing.
And by doing so, we kind of branch out the ideas that we have in our charity, but also the ideas of other charities, since we're working with them, and raising awareness for the children who need their help, who need those everybody's help, anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sheikha, we are just getting started with this conversation, and we are going to go to our first break, but we have plenty more to come after this. To all of our listeners, be sure that you connect with us and share what you're thinking at facebook.com/womeninvesting, or on Twitter, be sure to use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, and hashtag weforshe. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are going back with our guest, which we are very honored to have today, Anu Bhardwaj of Women Investing in Women, as well as our other guest today, Sheikha Althani, who is coming in from London, England right now. And before we went to the break, we talked about Sheikha's journey and helping children around the world find their voice and have their rights and be equal. And something that she has started is SATUC, which we would like to start out with, Sheikha, if you'd like to talk with us about this this organization and what motivated you to start it.
So SATUC is an abbreviation of Sheikha Althani for Uniting Children. And we have two branches until now, one in Egypt and one in London. It's a charity to help underprivileged children around the world in basically fulfilling their dreams because they have the right to dream, and it is our duty to make sure that their dreams come true and actually give them that opportunity to fulfill their dreams, because they need that hope, they need that push forward to survive in life. We have many projects that we're working on, such as the SATUC World Cup. As I said before, it's a World Cup where 9 nations are participating from all around the world. And the children who are participating are from 14 to 15 years old. There will be talent spotters hoping to afford these children a new opportunity in life, perhaps playing in different teams around the world. Other than that, there will be a huge crowd, hopefully, mm-hmm. watching children, giving them the opportunity to feel what it feels like to become an actual professional football player. Other than that, it's bringing generations and countries together. It's making them see the reality of what's going on, because unfortunately these days, the media is kind of shining the spotlight on negative things, which we want to kind of sort out. Another project that we're working on is a boarding school for 600 orphans in Egypt. This boarding school will be an opportunity for children. We'll basically have them from infancy. These children to get the proper education that they deserve in order to go to Ivy League universities or red brick universities or achieve whatever they want to achieve. Because I believe that education is one of the most necessary things that one must have in life. Perhaps not a certificate, but education in general. Because you can go into any office, any place, and say, okay, I came out of Harvard, or I came out of Oxford, etc., etc. Can I have a job here? Of course, they're not going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two projects that we're working on. The boarding school, which is for children who have a chance of getting education, and the World Cup for the children who perhaps passed that point or they want to become football players in general. Other than that, like I said before, we have our SATOC Youth Group, which aims to raise awareness around the world and give opportunities for children my age, or teenagers my age, in fact, of getting the idea of what it feels like to become a board member and to hold responsibility and help people around the world.
Now, I'm getting the sense that what we perceive as being young is not the same way that being young was perceived before. The work that you're doing to help these children is so inspiring, and I can only imagine the amount of impact that it's going to have on these children as they get older. So I'd like to know from you, who exactly are the children getting involved? You mentioned that they are in tough circumstances, but specifically, where are you finding these children to go to the boarding school or to be in the World Cup?
So the World Cup, they would be they would come from broken families, or they'd be orphans, or street children, in fact. But the boarding school is for orphans. We'd have full responsibility on these orphans until they graduate, and hopefully help them get into the universities or get the jobs that they want. The nine countries that I said before is Colombia, Honduras, Philippines, Jordan, Morocco, Algeria, Egypt, the UK, and Syrian refugees. Now, I'd like to emphasize on the Syrian refugees due to the fact that they've been in really tough circumstances, as we can all see, and having them is such an honor. We really worked hard to get these Syrian refugees on board, because I feel confident that this SATOC Cup and being with people and having fun and meeting new friends, these are all the things that children need. They need to feel like they're loved, that they have friends, that they have people to rely on. That's something that they probably don't have as much.
Love it. And that brings me to my next point, is something that it's definitely something that we've talked about before on the show, but it is a very important topic, and that is children in conflict. And like you mentioned, a lot of the times having children in this conflict is something that they didn't want for themselves, and they weren't able to choose. And I'd like to know from you what your opinion is of the tension between countries in conflict, and how this conflict is truly impacting the youth.
I think being a child, it depends on what age. As a general thing that I've realized is that when you're kids, you don't tend to understand what's going on. You just feel like everybody's supposed to love each other, be friends with each other, and seeing, for example, your parents fight, it's like seeing countries fight. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that's heartbreaking, and it causes a lot of damage for a child's mentality, because usually civil wars or conflict in general, like countries in war, or, well, let's stay with the civil war as an example. They see people dying right in front of their eyes. I don't think a child should go through that, seeing someone just fall, drop dead in front of them. What if that person was his father or his mother? What did he do to deserve a loss of a parent? What did he do to deserve that painful experience? I think before actually taking a next step in doing anything, whether it was planning a civil war or going into conflicts between countries, I think we should think about the children themselves and think about what we thought we wanted to do when we were children. What happened back then? We lived our childhood. Why not give them the same feeling, the same opportunities? I think that I feel like it's selfish when people just bring conflicts in countries or kill others just for their own want, what they want to do. People should stop that, I think, because the children are being affected really badly, and all they want to do is just people being happy, because when they see others happy, they'll see themselves happy. I mean, imagine if you're like with your mom or your dad and then you see them like shouting, obviously your mood will just suddenly drop, right? But if you go into your mom and you see like your mom and your dad sitting like down watching TV together and smiling or something, you're obviously gonna be happy. And that's the same thing. I know I'm making it, I'm just condensing it. It's probably much, 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 much worse than that. But I don't know how to kind of explain it.
So with that being said, how is the organization that you've started helping to kind of dissolve those borders and to try to help these children in conflict and to try to decrease the amount of conflict that these children are exposed to?
Now, I think for in the coming, for example, 3 years or 4 years, or perhaps even more, we wouldn't be able to prevent it. But the children who were affected by it, I think we'd be able to help them. Like I said before, the two projects that we have for the children who are orphans, they'll make new friends, they'll have a family in the boarding school, get a proper education, and prove the people who thought they couldn't do anything wrong. The World Cup is bringing, like I said before, new generations together, countries together, and makes the children know what's going on in the world instead of watching news channels and then thinking, oh my God, this country is attacking us, or I can't believe the president is killing his people, or whatever we see in this day and age. We're just trying to kind of We're not trying to shine the light on negative things, or in fact, lies. We're trying to shine the light. We're trying to show the bigger picture. We're trying to show what's really going on, and that's a really important thing for a person to take decision on what they're gonna do in their life. And that's what we're trying to help, like, afford to these children.
It's very, very inspiring work, and we are so thrilled that we're able to talk to you today about the work that you're doing, because you are such a role model and a figure of what youth is in this day and age, and we're very happy for it. And to all of our listeners, we want to hear about what you think of this conversation so far. Connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, comment and use the hashtag #WomenInvest, #GirlsInvest, or #WeForShe. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, joined here by our honorary guest today, Anu Bardwaj of Women Investing in Women, and our other guest today, Shaker Althani. And before we went to the break, to all of our listeners that are joining us, we talked about Satuk and the children that are being helped by its programs that may be in tough situations, but the work that Shaker is providing is impacting their future and creating some amazing individuals. And now to go along with more about the work that Shaker is doing, she's done some incredible things like starting a soccer cup and visiting hospitals and villages, as well as giving children the fun that they deserve and acting like children. So let's get started. Shaker, first of all, visiting the hospitals, especially in the countries that are impacted by the conflict that it's seeing, what is it like to be able to walk in these hospitals and to see the children there that are impacted?
I don't think I can begin to explain. I don't even know where to start. It's so heartbreaking. I'll take an example of one of the hospitals, and that wasn't the worst one, actually, surprisingly. It was in Sudan, and it was called Dr. Ahmed Qasim's Hospital. I went in, okay, just before going in, the fact that the heat is so unbearable, it's just the rays are just attacking you, they just want you to die. It's so hot. I don't think a patient would be able to like bear that heat while being ill. I thought that perhaps when I went in, there'd be an air conditioner. There was not. Now, you might think that this is a first world problem, but it's actually not. When I went in, the children, they were sweating so much, I thought I could get a bucket and actually get their sweat, okay? But more than that, the beds, they had three children on each, or perhaps more. That was the minimum. Some of them, they knew they were dying. The thought of knowing that you're gonna die, that's just like shattering their hopes altogether. It's just, you look in their eyes and you find that it's just hollow. It's that they don't even know what they can do anymore. Nobody's telling them, okay, you have this time, then just do whatever you want, you know? But you still can't tell a person that he's gonna die. Other than that, the children, they didn't get the right medicine, they don't have the right equipment for the surgery. Some of them were like so skinny that they were like skeletons. Mm-hmm. Literally. They couldn't even move. They needed someone to carry them from, for example, to and fro from the bathroom. It was just devastating. And the mothers, they were just sitting there, and they were on the floor, and their hands in their head, like their heads in their hands, and they were just, you know that feeling after you cry for so much that you're numb? Mm-hmm. I think it was more than that. It was just devastating for the child and the parent. The parent being separated from their children because they don't have the opportunity to help the children, to take them to a better hospital, is so sad. I think we need to help like hospitals like this. I think like medicine and medication and surgeries is really important. But other places, well, this was a bad place, but we went to other places like Dr. Magdi Aoub's Heart Foundation in Aswan, that's in Egypt, and 357 Hospital in Cairo as well, where they had really good medication and really good equipment. But still, some like the 357, that was a cancer hospital. Some of them had terminal cancer. You can't do anything about that, but at least you try to kind of fulfill their dreams before the time passes away. I know I feel like I'm sounding really cruel saying this, but I've seen it so many times that every time is still a shock, but each time I see it, it's less of a shock. Mm-hmm. And I wonder why people don't actually realize what's going on until they have that illness or they see those children. We should all be aware of this and we should all help them. Yeah.
Now, I think that you present something that is very impactful. And for the listeners who are listening to this right now, I think that this is what we talk about when we talk about the benefits of the youth having their voice heard. Because this is something that maybe adults have seen on the news or have heard about before, but they don't approach it with the same rawness and the same innocence as children do. So when children like you or others, and they go into these hospitals and see these situations, and like you said, you presented two different situations, but to see the amount of work that still needs to be done, the amount of work that has been done to help some of these countries, like you said, some of the work that tremendously is needed in these countries, and you see what you're experiencing, you realize that that more needs to be done, really. And I think that's something that's very special coming from somebody of a young age. And having that raw emotion. And I know this was very difficult for a lot of our listeners to hear, me included, because it's something that you don't always see in the news, to see that raw emotion of the mothers, to see these children that are in these dire circumstances. And so what are some steps that we can do to fix this problem? It's one thing to hear about the issue. It's one thing to shed tears. It's easy to shed tears. But what is something that we can do to create change, to make this that it's not the future for our children and for children to come?
Now, it might sound really naive, but it has helped. Perhaps visiting the children and donating a smile, just smiling towards them, talking to them, seeing what they want to do, helping them, perhaps donating money, but also to kind of raise your voice about how they choose the doctors. For example, I was in Cairo, in Egypt. I was visiting one of the villages, and I was going around the houses and checking up on the people and asking if they need anything. And I went to one of the houses. I was greeted by a mother who was smiling brightly, and then suddenly she just started crying. And I was really shocked because, Why is she crying? Did I do something? But then she sat down, and her son was just like in a corner, and he was just looking at his mom, and he couldn't say anything. And she started to tell me the situation. And the situation was that she has an elder son. She has no husband. Her husband is somewhere off doing something. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But her son, she has an older son who keeps on not wanting to get a proper education. But also he went blind. Now, the cause of this is that he had some blurry vision in the beginning. And his mother took him to a doctor. It was a doctor in some other village. But it seemed that the doctor wasn't that bright. I'll tell you why. Now, I took the child and I went to a hospital in Egypt, in Cairo, and the doctor said that the doctor who treated him first was an idiot, to be frank, mm-hmm. because he put oil in the boy's eyes. That's why he's blind. And then, so I was really shocked. I was like, how can you do that? Imagine if it was your own eyes. But thankfully, a week later, I went again to visit the same village because I had some work to do there. Mm-hmm. And the boy regained his sight.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and he was able to work and feed his mother and everything. So I'm saying that other than that, perhaps maybe children would like want to become doctors, want to get the proper education to help others. It's all good and everything to give money and... It's very good to give a smile, mm-hmm. But you never know where that money goes, you know?
Right.
If it's not a trusted place, perhaps you can just go and help them. But also, like, for example, what I meant by a smile is, for example, let's take Scotland. They have a very, very, very amazing charity there called Send Scotland, which helps mentally disabled children or people in general, and they host these parties every year with the children, and just smiling with them, you can see that they feel normal, they feel loved, they feel everything, and that's without the medication, that's without anything, and you make them happy.
Right.
What's better than being happy? You can have the best health but still be sad. What we're aiming at is making these people happy.
Mm-hmm. And just to provide a little bit of a transition, we don't have too much time left, but with the fun days that you've started and helping 600 orphans find that smile, if you can go just a little bit brief into what you've done there.
So basically, we're still in the planning start. We a lot of people are supporting us in this endeavor, but we're focusing now because on the World Cup, because it's coming in on August, mm-hmm. this August, and it's very soon. We're hoping from the people who are coming, the tickets, the revenue will go towards building that boarding school. Now, it's not only just a boarding school that we just want to build and get it done with and perhaps get rid of our conscience about having to help children, but we want, like I said before, we want to give them the proper education. But other than that, we don't want to make it seem like a jail. We want to make it seem like a family. So choosing every single teacher, every single teacher will be handpicked. The lifestyle, there will be doctors, there will be everybody just taking care of them. The place will be innovative. It will be a new environment for the children to create new ideas, to achieve their dreams no matter what they are, and will be very supportive, which is what every child needs, I think.
Perfect.
Where's the school going to be?
Well, basically, since one of my three nationalities is Egyptian, and I've been born, not born, I was born in America, I've been raised in Egypt for most of my life, I thought that it would be best to build it there as I have more experience. But over the coming years, perhaps I'll build a women's boarding school in a country where women are treated badly, perhaps where they have child marriages or just people who are abusive towards women, giving them another opportunity to get their proper education and getting rid of that submissive type of lifestyle that they live in.
Okay, and Shaka, we'll be right back after this next break. To all of our listeners out there, stay tuned, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are Summing up this conversation with our guest today, Anu Bhardwaj of Women Investing in Women, as well as our honorary guest today, Shekha Althani. And Shekha, we've had a very impactful conversation, I think. It's one that isn't said enough. I think that the fact that we are both youth, that we are in our youth, is something to be said in of itself. But I think that the raw emotion that you created, when we were during our break, we talked about the fact that this is the stuff that creates action, and it makes a transition from something that's just said on a radio to somebody hearing something out there, or somebody who's inspired by what we're saying and wants to make an impact. So I can't thank you enough for creating that. And this is the stuff that we need so that we don't see this become a part of our future or our children's future. So thank you again for everything that you've helped to provide to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
And so I want to be able to talk to you about personally what drives you, because you've done so much from a young age. If there is a phrase or a mantra that you live by and to help provide direction and guide you through what you do.
You might think of this as a bit selfish, but I'll be completely honest with you. The reason why I do this is because at some stage of my life, I felt, I felt a certain type of loss. And it kind of really, it really impacted me because it was at such a young age, but also because those children, when I felt so hollow and felt so lonely, those children were, let's say, my saving grace. They were, they helped me see the brighter side of everything, and they taught me so much, and I don't think I can repay them ever. And I felt it's my duty to kind of, well, I'll live to repay them. I'll do whatever it takes. And being that hollow person as a young person, well, at that time, when I see them smile, it was kind of reflected on me. So I wanted to be happy, but I also wanted them to be happy so I can be happy, if you get what I mean.
Of course.
But how can I say this? I feel like I've had so many opportunities, and I want to do something for them because I've had so much support from everybody. I've been so blessed that I've had so many good people around me who've supported me, even though some people said that, you know, at that time I was 13, what are you going to do with your life? Of course you're not going to have people donating to you. Of course you're not going to have this and this and this, but I've proved them wrong. Mm-hmm. And I've fulfilled my dream. And if someone says to me, you know, this might be a bit exaggerated, you might think so, but it's true. If someone said, you know what, give up your life and all the children or most children will be happy, I would not hesitate for a second. They mean so much to me. And I want to give them that feeling of fulfilling their dreams and having that support that I've had all my life from everybody around me. And I feel so blessed, and I want them to feel the same way.
You know, I think it takes a level of maturity for somebody who is young. And a lot of times adults may think that all we do is just think about ourselves and just either want something materialistic or something that really doesn't mean much on a global scale or over time. And I think that the fact that you have dedicated so much of your mission and your energy towards helping other children have the same resources and opportunities that you have is very unselfish, really. And I think that it's very important. I think that there need to be more people out there that have that as well. So I'd like to know, you're just getting started in your life. Where do you see yourself in the work that you've been doing, let's say 3 years from now, or it just in general in the future?
You know what? I don't know. But I can see myself as a person who will hopefully work hard in order to achieve those children's smiles. Now, whoever's listening might think this is really cheesy, but it's true. I think that smiling and making them happy is one of the most important things. Now, I've dedicated my education towards them. I'm gonna take the courses I want that will help me become someone who can defend their rights and fulfill their dreams, and that's really all I want. That's my life. That's my life goal. That's what I feel like I've been born into this world for, and I love it. And that's the important thing. I love what I do. I love the people I help, and I hope they love me too.
Well, there's.
Are you in university right now, Shaka Shaka? Are you in university at the moment?
No, I'm actually in high school.
And where do you want to go to university? Where are you hoping to go?
I'm thinking of Red Brick University. I'm thinking of taking PPE, which is politics, philosophy, economics. But then I'll take I'll go to an Ivy League university perhaps and get my master's in government and politics. And then I'll go to Sandhurst, maybe, if I get accepted. All of this is just to become that well-rounded person that all of these children would be proud of knowing, and doing everything for them. So I just want to know everything so I can give them some of the knowledge that I've gained over my life.
I'm sure they're very proud. And you brought up a great point to be able to share the knowledge that you've had, because you've had so many different experiences that have not only changed your life, but have changed other people's lives as well. So there's two types of advice that I want to ask for you. I'll start with the first one. I want to know what you'd like to share to young girls that are listening to the show right now, specifically.
Okay. To young girls, I think that at this age, I haven't felt it yet, or maybe I did or I passed it, I'm not sure. But girls my age tend to feel really confused. They don't know what's going on, especially girls who are bullied. Now, you know what? You don't have to put a mask on your face, because you only live once. You have to do what you want to do. And if you feel like you want to help people, help people. If you want to do whatever you want to do, just do it and be true to yourself, because people won't be around you for the person who you are. And when you show your true side, nobody will be there. So just be true. Just do whatever you want. Yeah? Be happy.
Of course. And trying to create those smiles that you've talked about so much. So I think that's very important. Now, the second advice that I want you to be able to give to our audience is a bit of a big question, and it's something that I know that on behalf of two different populations, one that is young and one that isn't as young. And I want to ask you what advice, or if you could give a message to the adults of the world on behalf of the youth of the world, what would you say?
Stop judging us, because you know what, maybe we are young, but I think we have thoughts that are great enough or big enough that you should listen to, because we see things from the outside, because they adults tend to stop us from going into the actual thing. This might be a disadvantage at some place, because we feel like they're treating us as kids, even though we are, but it's still a bad feeling. Because they don't give us that feeling that we want to feel, like we're respected, that we're needed, which is basically what everybody wants to feel. But also, it's an advantage, because when you're stepping outside of that circle, you can see what's going on. And when you see what's going on, you can take that, you can look at it and say, oh, I think this is wrong, I think this is right. You know exactly what's going on. And usually our judgment is right. So they should at least think about it, just listen to it. And sometimes when they just say no, just because you're a child, it really affects people. I can say this from past experiences, because sometimes when I say something is wrong or a person shouldn't be trustworthy or something, they don't believe me, and then it turns out that I'm right. But that was a long time ago. But I'm just the project that I'm working on, the youth group, like I said, this is the opportunity to give children, teenagers, the chance to show people that, you know what, they can actually do something, that they can handle responsibility quite well. Mm-hmm. They don't need all of that pressure that's being put on in the adult world.
Absolutely. I think that you are a great testament to the old phrase that age is just a number. I think that the ideals that you represent and the goals that you want to achieve exceed well beyond your years. And I think it'll be incredible to learn about you. And I think the world's going to know who you are, if not now, then in the future, because what you're doing is so incredibly inspiring and impactful. And We, once again, are just so thrilled to be able to have you on our program today. And we encourage all of our listeners to learn more about what you're doing at the SADC Cup. On Twitter, I think you mentioned to use the hashtag SADC Cup in their comments, correct?
Yep.
Alrighty.
Yeah, you just want like your support and everything. The children will be like will be delighted when they know that people know about them. But I hope you all guys can make it to Egypt. It won't be here in Egypt every year. It will change every 2 years of the countries, and maybe one day it'll be in America. So I hope you all will come, and it will be an honor for us as the SADC team.
We look forward to the day. And to our listeners, once again, go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or use Twitter and use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, and hashtag weforshe. And we'd like to thank all of our listeners for listening as well. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by the State of Women Radio Network, the first radio network for women and girls. For Voice America Kids and Kidstar Radio, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls with Michelle Jaffe. Download our shows on iTunes or listen on demand right here on thestateofwomen.com, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on delivering the latest trends in investing, entrepreneurship, and global women's issues by and for women and girls.